Reno Center, November 27, 2022. On this night, the Reno community celebrated Baba's birthday, which is actually on November 23rd, and it coincides with Nusrat Jun, Sat's mother's birthday.
Well, everybody, welcome. I feel honored to have you here. And I am full of gratitude to Baba to allow another birthday go on here. So just relax and let the program carry you with inspiration. So we do a few minutes of meditation, then Bahar will talk about Baba's work on hospitals, and we will show you behind the scene a movie of Baba opening of the hospitals, and then we move to the other area of the house, and there we will have sharings and then dinner, then we move back here for kick. So enjoy. Thank you for coming.
Everybody meditates for a few minutes, and then Bahar talks about Baba's hospital projects.
So I decided to pick hospitals of something to learn about Baba's work. And I picked it because I didn't really know much about his work with hospitals. And I'm really glad I did, because I found there was a lot to learn, and it was very, very inspiring. Today, the Satya Sai Global Health Mission provides completely free advanced medical care to the needy, regardless of race, creed, religion, caste, etc., with love and compassion. It runs without the use of any public funds, solicitation, or marketing. There's a general hospital in Puttaparthi, super speciality hospitals providing secondary and tertiary health care in Puttaparthi in Bangalore, hundreds of medical camps across the globe, and over 40 permanent medical clinics and mobile clinics worldwide. Collectively, they provide free healthcare to millions of people in need. The Sri Satya Sai hospitals are considered temples of healing, where patients receive high-quality healthcare along with divine grace, which is said to accelerate the healing process, remarkably reducing morbidity and mortality rates. The Satya Sai Ideal Healthcare runs on 7 tenets. State-of-the-art healthcare must be universally accessible to all. Healthcare must be free of charge to the patient. Healthcare must be delivered with love and compassion. Healthcare must be comprehensive and treat the body, mind, and spirit. Healthcare must include disease prevention and provide education for patients and physicians alike. And healthcare should be timely and prompt to alleviate the suffering of patients. I enjoyed learning the history of how the hospital system started. It's set in the mid-1950s in Baba's tiny hometown of Puttaparthi. They lacked even the basic amenities of health, education, and potable water. So his mother, Ishvarama, was moved by the plight of the villagers and pregnant women who had to travel very far for healthcare. And it said that she pleaded with Baba to bring a hospital to Puttaparthi to help the local villagers. And Baba listened to his mother. And in 1954, on Baba's auspicious birthday, November 23rd, the first stone was laid down of the first general hospital. It was inaugurated in 1956, and it started with only one floor. That year, Sai Baba also gave the hospital a van that took the doctors every Thursday and Sunday to local villages to help those who couldn't actually make it to the hospital. In 1984, it expanded to include a labor ward, anti and postnatal wards, along with a section for medical and surgical casualty with an inpatient facility and dental department. And in 2019, they added a big new extension that houses departments of general medicine, emergency, ward, inpatient ward, dental, ophthalmology, ENT, gastroenterology, x-ray, physiotherapy, podiatry, laboratory administration, a library, and it has a state-of-the-art seminar hall for academic and cultural purposes. In 1991, he founded the first super specialty hospital in Puttaparthi, and it gives secondary and tertiary healthcare services, the specialized ones like cardiology and neurology, for free to everyone. And in 2001, the second super specialty hospital was opened in Whitefield, Bangalore. Now, every year, hundreds of thousands of needy patients receive medical and surgical services at mobile hospitals, hundreds of medical camps, and over 40 permanent medical clinics and mobile clinics worldwide. And the type of healthcare delivered spans the whole gamut from primary care to tertiary care using the latest technologies and medical expertise. Its service extends all over the globe, providing healthcare in every continent except Antarctica. And for this reason, it's now referred to as Satya Sai Ideal Healthcare. And then I found one sharing from Dr. Narendra Reddy. He's the chairman of the Sri Satya Sai International Medical Committee, and he studied the principles of ideal healthcare directly from Baba. And he had the following to say about his time with Baba in the hospitals. He says, "I was fortunate to be involved in the planning stages of the super specialty hospital in Prasanthigram before it was inaugurated in 1991. I was amazed at the attention to detail given by Swami in choosing the equipment, personnel, and design of the facility. It was also astounding that such a historic landmark, a major hospital providing tertiary medical services, could be completed from the ground up within only 6 months. And on the inauguration day itself, cardiac surgeries were performed at the hospital. After the inauguration of the super specialty hospital at Prasanthigram, I had the blessed opportunity to accompany Swami on rounds to visit the patients. It was an inspiring experience to see how Swami blessed the patients and their families, giving them prasadam and vibhuti, and spoke to them sweetly, consoling and encouraging them and their families. On one occasion, a cardiologist was talking with a patient and his family before starting a procedure and focused on the various possible complications and the seriousness of the situation. Swami lovingly corrected the cardiologist, suggesting that he should always talk in a pleasing, positive manner, encouraging the patient. Swami said it was good to infuse the patient with enthusiasm and confidence, as the patient and his or her family place a lot of importance on the words, body language, and attitude of the attending physician. While medicine is popularly considered to be more of a science with emphasis on cutting-edge technologies, Swami emphasizes that medicine is not only a science, but an art, the art of healing, which has been neglected and forgotten. 10 years after the opening of this hospital, Swami opened another super specialty hospital in 2001 in Whitefield, which provides neurology, neurosurgery, cardiology, and cardiac surgery free of charge. I was also blessed and fortunate to be present at the inauguration of this temple of healing. Even though Baba, by his very divine will and touch, can cure people of incurable diseases such as paralysis, cancer, and severe mental illness, he established these temples of healing to show us how modern healthcare can provide solace to patients when delivered with love and compassion as one's own kith and kin. Bhagavan emphasizes that the spirit of sacrifice is the hallmark of a good doctor."
After several minutes, Radha invites everybody to move to a different room.
So now I know everybody is prepared to talk about a different part of Baba's life or his work. I was thinking Ida could start.
Yes.
And tell us about his personal life.
I had his early life, and I was always so fascinated when I would hear like that the musical instruments played in his house before he was born or other really auspicious things. So I wanted to know more about that. And first thing I found out was that Puddha Party itself, before Baba was born, it was called Gola Pali, which means the village of cowherds. And one day a cowherd noticed that one of his cows had gone to pasture and came back with its udder empty, and this continued to happen, and it really upset the cowherd, so he followed his cow, and he saw that a serpent actually would climb and drink all the milk from the udder, and then the cow would come back to pasture, and the cowherd got really mad. It didn't really occur to him that the serpent actually might be something auspicious and divine, so he got very upset. He threw a stone and actually killed the serpent, and blood came out and everything, and the serpent died. And after that incident, the cowherd families in Golapali, they actually declined a lot in number, and Serpent Hills just took over. And people believed that the dying serpent had cursed the villagers. So keep this in mind for just a little bit later. The villagers took that stone and named it Gopala Swami, which means Krishna, the cowherd, and put it in a village for regular worship. The villagers worshiped the stone as Krishna, as an act of atonement for remorse and trying to make amends for what that cowherd had done. So soon the village prospered again and grew and came to be known as Puttaparthi. A temple was built, and elaborate arrangements started for regular rituals, for traditional puja, and lighting sacred lamps, and offering incense and food to the deity. And the village just continued to prosper more and more. After Baba announced that he was Sri Satya Sai Baba, he confirmed the divinity of that deity. He asked that that same stone be bathed with sandalwood paste spread all over. And to the amazement of everyone around, all the devotees, the stone actually revealed the divine form of Krishna with his flute in hand. Baba's paternal grandparents, they all lived a life of devotion to God. Actually, at the time that Mother Ishwaramba went into labor, her mother-in-law was actually doing puja at the temple since 4 o'clock in the morning. Baba was actually the eighth pregnancy that Mother Ishwaramba had, just as Krishna was the eighth child. Prior to his birth, musical instruments, percussion, and stringed instruments started playing in the house. And his father got really concerned and actually went to see an astrologer in a town nearby because of his concern. And they both looked through ancient texts and things. And the astrologer asked if their lady in the house is pregnant. And Baba's father said yes. And they found out that because of for the pleasure of the child, in the womb, celestial musicians start to play music to please the divine incarnation that is about to come. I thought that was so beautiful. So at 5:06 in the morning, on November 23rd, of course, 1926, as little bells would play in temples close by, Baba was born. And his grandma placed him on palm leaves, as it was tradition at that time. And a little later, she noticed a slight movement under the baby's bed sheets. When she picks up the baby, she finds a coiled cobra below to the bed. The cobra had positioned itself just to be like a pillow for the newborn. As soon as everybody was trying to figure out what was going on, the cobra, of course, went away. As he grew up, he was full of compassion for any living being subjected to hardship and grief. For example, some of his schoolmates had collected frogs and had them in a basket, and they were going to do bad things to them. He asked them to stop. They didn't listen. So what he did was he turned them all into pigeons. So when the basket opened, the pigeons all flew away. He went through a lot of challenges as he was growing up, even an attempt at exorcism and all of these things, because people couldn't really understand what they were seeing. So on October 20th in 1940, when he had just started taking up his schooling again, he's on his way to school, and all of a sudden he turns back and returns back home. He throws his books and cries out loudly, "I no longer belong to you. Maya has left me. My devotees are eagerly calling me." On hearing these loud words, his sister-in-law, she looks at him. She sees a giant halo around his head. And he says, "I'm leaving. The work I've come here for has to be initiated." As he says this, his brother comes out and sees the same halo. So, and he falls at Baba's feet at that point. So Baba walks to a nearby garden. He sits on a boulder in that garden. A lot of eager devotees gather around him, and he sings the very first bhajan of Manasa Bhajare Guru Charanam, Dustara Baba Sagara Taranam, which translates mostly into, "First learn that you are in the ocean of worldly life. Next resolve on crossing it. Then fix the guru or any name and form of God which appeals to you. Then dwell on his glory. Do bhajans, but do it with all your mind and concentration. Sing in praise of the master's lotus feet with all your heart. It enables you to cross the difficult to cross oceans of birth and the death cycle." So as the devotees are gathered around him, some put a garland on him, a photographer comes up and prepares to take that very first picture of him. There's a small rock that is in front of him that the cameraman keeps wanting to move, but Baba says, "Let it be. Go ahead and take your photograph." And then when the film was eventually developed and printed, the small stone was seen to the amazement of everybody as Shirdi Sai Baba's form. That's all. Thank you.
Farhan's prepared to talk about Baba's work with children. Baba, of course, was an avatar for all. However, on many different occasions, he remarked that 75% of his time would be spent for students. Baba said, "Students are my only property." He said, "I have only one property. My most valuable property are my students. Students are my only property, and it's enough for me if my students conduct themselves well." And Baba has an incredible point of view and vision about the meaning of education, the value of education, purpose of education, and the final goal of education. And there is a treasure house of quotes about education, and I have chosen a few of them that I think they are so beautiful. Baba says, "There is no use of knowledge, and there is no use if knowledge grows while desires multiply. It makes one a hero in world and zero in action." He says, "What the head is should be examined critically in the heart, and this decision should be carried out by the hands. This should be the primary product of the educational process." Baba says, "The end of knowledge is wisdom, and the end of wisdom is freedom." He says, "Unless knowledge is transformed into wisdom, and wisdom is expressed in character, education is a wasteful process. The education stems today makes an educated person selfish. It makes that person a slave to the senses, and as a consequence, the person forgets their own divine nature. Education has to endow you with an eagerness to surrender." Other occasion, he says, "The nation can prosper and be happy only when education develops in an atmosphere of truth, love, and reverence." He also says, "Humility, reverence, compassion, forbearance, sacrifice, and self-control are the qualities that reveal the outcome of true education." Baba says, "True education consists in the cultivation of the heart. Learning to earn a living is only half of the job. The other half is to make life worthwhile and meaningful. True beauty lies in true education. Education must be oriented towards the attainment of character for leading
clean, simple lives. Pure love is the chief manifestation of education. Baba also has so much guidance about the way that children need to be educated. He talks about the fact that the value is through setting examples. Baba says human values cannot be learned from lecture of textbooks. Those who seek to impart values to students must first practice themselves and set an example. He says you can teach love to students only through love. He advises teachers and parents to follow these things. Serve first to gain the position of a leader. Only a good servant can become a great master. I also chose a few quotes about what Baba talked to teachers and parents about this fact. He says, "Do not imagine that your service to children is for their sake. It is equally for your sake. And human values cannot be learned by lectures. You can teach love only by true love. In cultivating human values, emphasis should also be placed on avoiding wastage of money, food, and time. Even teachers have to be trained in this respect." Baba, as we all know, has five values of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, and Ahamsa. Bliss is going to talk about those and has her first-hand experiences. But I also noticed that there are 108 sub-values, and Satya is love in speech, Dharma is love in action, Shanti, love in thought, Ahimsa, love in understanding. So it all ends up with love. And the other thing is, for putting these values in action, the only way that I can see it is to calm down the mind. Otherwise, these are more like beautiful words, but the art of living is practicing and having that mind into cooperation. And Bliss has first-hand experience how she did it with her students.
I just want to add some words to what Farnaz just said, to how effective and beautiful these teachings work. I was a teacher in a French private school in a prestigious part of Tehran. The parents were extremely rich and not giving enough attention to their children, and most of them were always with the nannies or the servants of the house. So as a matter of fact, most of the children were badly damaged. They were or bullying other children or being strangely quiet, passive, and without any concentration in the class. We had good psychiatrists and counselors in our school, but the result of their work were very poor and inefficient. I had a very tough class with difficult students of 8 years old, and it was almost impossible to teach anything to them. I shared my situation with Sat, and she suggested to talk to the principal of school about teaching the five human values of Baba to the children and see if it's beneficial for them or not. Very strangely, Sat's suggestions was immediately accepted by the hopeless principal. So under supervision of Sat and Baba's lesson plans on human values that one of Sat's friends sent me through email, I started to train myself and teach the materials in the class. The base of every session was what Baba said, that every student must cultivate human values.
The teaching, as Farnas said, emphasized on five important human values: Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, and Ahimsa, which are truth, peace, love, right conduct, and nonviolence. The five human values were taught through stories, games, play, and drawing and fun stuff in the class. I was always starting my class with the light meditation in order to calm the mind of my student. And immediately after that, I would start very slowly to tell a story to them. You cannot believe how easily and fast the children would find the key and the purpose of the story. They would love to share their understanding and clarify the points of the story to each other and give a similar example of what they have just heard to the classroom. For example, when a lesson was given on love and kindness, the same difficult children were in a such hurry to go and solve their problems with their friends. And when the story was about the right conduct and sacrifice, they wanted to share their belongings to others and express their deepest love. Sometimes after an interesting story, they would ask me to make a play out of the story. And they were acting with so much love, passion, and enthusiasm. So I just want to say that the results of these teachings impressed the principal, the parents, and myself. And honestly, I could not imagine how fast the children could find their balance and become more peaceful, harmonious, happy, and light. I really want to thank Baba for these divine teachings and solutions for the children around the world. And I want that we help each other to build for our children a place filled with truth, peace, love, dharma, and nonviolence.
Thank you. You remind me of a sharing. Some of you know it and some of you don't. When my boys were small, I took him to India at least once a year, if not twice a year. And I used to have a Balvika meetings in our house since 83. And my students were my kids for the longest time. Then they started a school. When they were in the elementary school, maybe second grade and fourth grade, the principal asked me to go to the school. And I went there, very leery about what I'm going to be hearing. And he said, "What are you doing with your kids?" I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Something about these two kids, particularly your older one," because the younger one was very young, "that is exceptional, and we want to know what you're teaching them." At that time, there was no education value. It was just Balvika. So I said, "Balvika." They said, "What is Balvika?" I said, "Well, my guru is in India, and they teach Balvika at the school." He said, can we practice it here?" I said, "Of course you can. There are some teachers in the United States." He said, "Please ask them to come." And then he called me a couple of days later and says, "We even credit our teacher to participate in it." So I called Dr. Goldsmith, and poor guy had just arrived after being hijacked. His plane from India was hijacked. And his wife was Jewish, so they were just very... Anyway, he made it, and he said, He said, I don't think I can get in the plane, but I'm going to do it for that. So they put together some of their teacher in the United States, and he was the head of the Balvika. And they all came, and they start teaching at the school on the weekends. And this was, what, 25 years ago, or I don't know, long time ago. And I did check on the school before the children came out, and they were still doing meditation and doing Bhavika. And then, 20-some years later, Radha's children were there, and I said, are they doing anything like this? And she said, yes, they still do meditation in the morning. Mm-hmm. Is that true, mm-hmm. Radha?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the...
meditation, and then go outside in nature and give love to a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, guys. That was beautiful. I remember her calling me in the beginning of the school and say, I can't do it, Sat. I'm pulling my hair out. They're all climbing the walls. I said, you said that to me last year. You're going to make it. And then a month later, she would say, I had a conference with the parents, and they couldn't believe the change in their kids. And actually, the children were guiding the parents.
Yes, exactly.
And this is why whenever somebody moved to Reno, I would say, let's start a school. Let's start a school, please.
So next, Nilu, if you want to continue along that same topic,
sure.
Nilu would like to talk about Baba's work with young adults.
This is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba's message to youth from youth conference. Baba says, always be happy and peaceful. The creation emerges from truth and merges into truth. Is there a place in the cosmos where truth does not exist? Visualize this pure and unsullied truth. Every living being in this world, right from an ant to an insect, bird, beast, or an animal, has emerged from truth only. Those who realize this truth are real yogis. Devoid of truth, nothing will move in this universe. And that supreme truth is embodied only in one person. He is Satyam. Here Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba materialized a lingam and showed it to all. Who else can manifest such pure consciousness? Truth is omnipresent. When you think of it and contemplate on it, it can manifest in you also. Hence, constantly contemplate on truth. Why was this body named Satya Sai? Truth alone manifests from this Sai. Whoever contemplates on truth, Satyam is present in the heart of that person. Hence, one should never forget truth. Dharma or righteousness is the reaction, reflection, and resound of Satyam or truth. In fact, Satya Nasi Paro Dharma, there is no Dharma greater than adherence to truth. Today we teach several branches of knowledge in secular education. But this is not true education. True education relates to the truth that emerges out of one's heart. It has no name and form. What could be the form of truth? What is the form of Dharma? What is the form of Shanti or peace? Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, and Ahimsa. Truth, righteousness, peace, love, and nonviolence are all formless. One has to manifest these human values from out of one's heart. The kind of divine energy that is not present in a human being is not to be found in any other living being. Hence, a human being is verily God. He is God in human form. This is Divine Discourse at the World Youth Conference on July 28th of 2007. Satya Sai Baba talks about the five human values that form the foundation of Sri Satya Sai Baba's teachings. which is, again, truth, righteousness, peace, divine love, and nonviolence. Baba says on love, I have come to light the lamp of love in your hearts, to see that it shines day by day with added luster. I have not come to speak on behalf of any particular faith or religion, like the Hindu Dharma. I have not come on any mission of publicity for any sect or creed or cause, nor have I come to collect followers for any doctrine. I have no plan to attract disciples or devotees into my fold or any fold. I have come to tell you of this universal, unitary faith, this atmic principle, this path of love, this dharma of love, this duty of love, this obligation to love. Then he talks about love and human values. Swami simplifies our understanding of the principle of love with an aphorism. Love in thought is satya, love in action is dharma, love in feeling is shanti, and love in understanding is ahimsa. Love is the underlying current for all the human values. When we speak with love, it is satya, and when our work is saturated with love, it is dharma. Life lived according to these values gives us peace. Love emanating from a peaceful heart brings bliss, and Swami says that God is bliss. I often address you as embodiments of love because love is your true form, which is pure, unsolid, eternal, ancient, formless, and non-dual. You love your mother because you have the confidence that she is your mother. So confidence is the basis of love. Where there is confidence, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is truth. Where there is truth, there is bliss. Where there is bliss, there is God.
Finally, we have Pumu, who is going to share with us about Baba's water project.
Drinking water supply project was inspired by Mother in Soramba. It's very close to my heart too, because I myself have done what Baba has done too, as far as carrying the water from, and it's hard. As a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, when I was a little girl, I have done it too, and I know it's hard. To give you a background of it, Baba lived with his brother while attending school, and there was no drinking water in the house. It had to be fetched from a well a mile away from the town to meet daily needs. Baba would bring water every day, morning and evening, making 2 or 3 rounds each time. He would carry 2 large containers on each trip, slung at each end of a bamboo pole balanced on his shoulders. The neighbors soon discovered his nature, and they would ask him to fetch some water for them too. And he would cheerfully meet their requirement as well. How the project of the drinking water supply came about is a few years after Baba declared himself as an avatar, his mom, Mother Iswaramba, requested of him 3 wishes. To build a school in the village because children had to walk to the next village to study, build a hospital nearby which offered free services, and a good water source because it was difficult to find clean drinking water during the hot, dry summers in India. Fulfilling the mother's wish, he launched a massive project to provide safe drinking water to more than 750 villages. He took personal interest in construction, and the entire project was completed in record time of 18 months. The project cost was nearly $17 million, and the money was donated to Baba's trust without any kind of solicitation. The government provided the land at no cost. Thanks to Baba, millions have clean and safe drinking water at their doorstep, free of charge. Another benefit was many people got employment and training to manage with the agency that is maintaining the water works. There's more to it, but I think I'll keep it short. Just want to read Baba's just one last sentence. Strong determination and combined with pure and selfless love can really do wonders.
Thank you, guys. That was so beautiful.
At this point, Radha announces that they are going to prepare the dinner, and some conversation follows.
You know, Sat, when they were talking about the medical system, you know, we went visiting Baba in Whitefield when Matthew was a little bit, right around 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
And in order to travel, he had to get the BCG shot, vaccination. So because of the humidity and the heat, this started having infection. Uh-huh. And on the way back from Whitefield, we saw a clinic. I asked the driver to pull over. We went in, and we didn't know what this clinic was, a clinic. So we went in, and they looked at it, and they said, it's okay, and they taped it up and put some antibiotics on it. They came out to pay. They said, no money. I said, what do you mean, no money? And I then saw Baba's picture on the wall. And it was one of the clinics that Baba had created in this little middle of nowhere, right? And I said, can I make a donation? No. Just, thank you very much. Just go.
It is very rare.
And when Bahar was talking about this, she forgot to mention about Africa. They said they distributed some ungodly number of like mosquito-treated nets for stopping malaria in Africa. Thousands of them. Because Nilu was a part of this. There was a big meeting at downtown L.A. in the convention center. Of all the work that Baba had done, was
unbelievable. And I want you to know, it's still going on. They just opened a huge hospital in Fiji. And they're also, Baba Zani was telling me, and also they're opening 12 ashrams around the world for the time of Prema Baba.
After dinner, everybody gathers in Baba's room, and Radha announces that they're going to pass around some paper, and everybody can write a card to Baba and leave it at his feet in the Sai Baba room, and next week they can have it back. Everyone writes their cards, and after several minutes, everyone sings a couple of bhajans, and then they cut the cake. Afterwards, everyone, including Sat, expressed that how much they enjoyed the program this year. And then some conversation goes on about Sai Center of Reno being in Sat's house for about 40 years now. And then Sat talks about how she came about writing the book, Nazanin.
I had this crazy idea in the middle of the ashram. I remember I was walking from canteen to go to our room, that since I was the only Iranian there, maybe I should translate Baba's writing, one of his books. And of course, my Farsi writing is not that good. So I discussed with somebody that lived in the ashram. I don't even remember who he was. And they said, well, Mr. Endola Shah is in charge. He was at that time very, very close to Baba, just like Kasturi was. And he has an office here in the ashram. Go see him. Is it that fast? Okay. So I went to see him, and I thought our secretary is going to tell me to come up with an appointment. It was such a big shot in the ashram. I walk in, and they say, well, are you here? I said, I want to see Mr. Endola Shah. They said, go in. I go to this big office, and he says, how can I help you? I say, I'm Iranian, and I would like to translate what Baba's teaching. And he said, any book, anytime, you have carte blanche, go do whatever you want to do. I come out, and I say, what did I just do?
What did I sign up for?
This is going to be bad. So I come back to the United States. I took a book by the name of my beloved to translate because I was really attracted to the heart of the man that wrote it, his experiences with Baba. But it was a big book, but very thin. So I said, okay, I'm going to start with that. I did the first page. And then I couldn't go forward anymore. And here there's a book that I really love and I can't do it. And then immediately I was convinced that I have to write my own. So now, not only I have to write, but to come up with my own story. And I know why, so that all of these people could come through the, yeah. It's strange how God works. It's magic. Well, guys, it was really, really good. If the community again did an amazing job for themselves and a few of us that didn't do much. Until next time, I'll say goodnight to everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Baba, for providing this room and our heart.